Bible, please, to the portion which we read, 2 Kings chapter 5. And before we commence, we'll seek the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll seek His face, and we'll ask Him for help in this time as we preach His word and as we receive His word. So let's all pray. Almighty God, we thank Thee again for all of Thy blessings to us in the service gone by already. We thank Thee for the hymns that we've been singing. We thank Thee, Lord, for even the times of prayer and seeking Thy face. We thank Thee, Lord, for even the good things that Thou hast given to us. And as we return these tithes and offerings, we're conscious that we do so in an act of worship unto Thee. And so, Lord, we thank Thee for all Thy goodness to us as we've met with Thee already now. But as we come to this time, as we come to proclaim Thy word and to consider it and to learn the truths of it, we ask for Thy help. I'm conscious, Lord, that in myself there's no strength for preaching of Thy word. There's no strength for this time. And Lord, if this task is undertaken in my own strength, then Lord, we'd be better going home now. We pray that rather than leave me to my own abilities and my own strength, that Thou would be pleased to send forth the Holy Spirit. Lord, that Thou would be pleased to fill me even now to proclaim the word. Give me that unction from above, that wisdom in my own mind given specially from Thee to proclaim Thy word aright and to say things that would be appropriate in this time. That Thou would take and use of the notes that are here in the pulpit with me, but also, Lord, that Thou would even speak the word in my own soul and that Thou would prompt me and direct me as I would preach. And then we pray for each one in the congregation, myself included, that we would all have the Spirit given to us and the ability to receive Thy word. We don't want to be just as those who come and look in the glass darkly and go away forgetting what we've seen. We don't want to be just hearers of the word, but Lord, we need to be doers of the word, and to do, we need to receive that word. We need Thy Spirit to take it and to apply it to us and to plant it deep in the heart. And Lord, hide Thy word in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. Hide Thy word there that we might not forget it, that we might not go about and live as if we've never considered these things. So, Lord, come and give us help now and speak to our souls, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If I asked you to tell me who the most important person in this chapter is that we've read together, I wonder what your answer would be. I imagine some people would say, well, Naaman, he was quite a prominent character. He was fairly important. The chapter wouldn't have had much to say except Naaman was in it. And I suppose there's a point there. After all, Naaman's the one who followed through on the instructions and was cleansed. Perhaps some people would say Elisha. I mean, after all, he was the one who gave that good instruction. He gave the guidance and the direction as to how Naaman could be saved. It was Elisha who told him. It was Elisha who told him to go and wash in the river. And perhaps then you would say, Elisha, he's the most important character in the passage. He's the most prominent one. My guess is that only a few people, I might be wrong, but I would imagine only a few people would suggest the character that's hidden in verses 2 to 4 or 5, a little maid. My guess is that few would mention this little maid and say this is the most prominent character, this is the most important, influential, pivotal character in the whole thing, and yet, quite possibly, it's arguable, but quite possibly, I believe she is the most important, prominent character in the chapter. The most pivotal character in the chapter. Without her, without this little maid, the story goes like this. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Israel, was a great man with his master, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. Finally, Naaman died a leper. Without this little maid, that's how it goes. Finally, Naaman died a leper. Elisha gave good instruction, but Naaman wouldn't have come to him without this little maid. Naaman was a mighty man. He was honourable. He was an honourable commander of the army. He was one of the most influential men in Syria. But without this little maid, Naaman was left as a leper. That's all he was. The little maid, she's given no prominent name in Scripture. She's just called the little maid. you don't know her name. But the reality is that despite the fact that we don't really know her name or that much about her, to be honest, this individual was used of the Lord to see Naaman healed. More importantly, she was used of the Lord to ultimately see Naaman saved. This little maid is an unlikely evangelist. I want to consider this maid with you for a few moments this morning, today, and to learn from her example in evangelism. So consider with me this little maid as an unlikely evangelist. And firstly, as we consider her, notice that she was an evangelist, despite her circumstances. She was an evangelist. She spoke for the Lord, despite her circumstances. If you look at verse 2 with me, you'll see there in the verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. The first thing that Scripture tells us about this little maid is that she was a captive. She was a captive. She had been an Israelite by birth. She'd grown up in Israel. And whatever her standard of life had been, she knew what it was to be free. She was an Israelite living in her own country at a time. She was a free woman, free girl. But disaster had come her way. Disaster had found her. One day, her life changed dramatically. It turned upside down. The Syrians came in. And in defeating parts of Israel, they'd taken away captives to be their servants, and this girl was amongst those captives. Her life turned upside down in a day. A free woman in Israel, a free girl in Israel, now a captive in Syria. This girl, living happily in her home, had been ripped away from family and friends. She'd been taken to a strange place amongst strange people, and I'm sure that she felt very alone where she was. This girl, who had known a life of freedom, was now a humble servant. A slave, if you like, waiting upon a master. It would have been very easy for this girl to become downcast, to say, well, the Lord's finished with me. What good can I do for him now? If the Lord was still interested in me, he wouldn't have let any of this happen. It would be very easy for her to forget Israel and to forget her God. After all, disaster had come. The Lord had allowed it to happen. The Lord had allowed her to be taken away captive. What good had he done her, and so on? These could be the thoughts of her mind. Her life had turned out so different to how she'd planned it. I'm sure she had dreams of growing up in Israel, free woman, and perhaps marrying there and settling down and having children and so on. Now she was a little maid, a captive in a strange land. It's very easy for us to think like that. You know, it's no good for me anymore. Things have turned the wrong way. Disasters come. What use am I now? Something doesn't happen as we would have liked it, as we would have planned it. You don't get that job which you applied for. You were made redundant from the job which you had. Perhaps an individual that you loved has passed away. Perhaps you've had that bad news from the doctor. The question comes, can I still be useful to the Lord? Things haven't worked out as I wanted them to work out. Things haven't gone as planned. Am I still useful to the Lord? How can I serve the Lord now when all this has happened to me? Has the Lord forsaken me entirely? If that sums you up today, I want you to think about this. The maid, this little maid in Syria, she could not have been useful to the Lord unless she'd been taken as a captive. If she'd remained in her own life, in her old life, if she'd remained as a free woman growing up in Israel, living in Israel, she would never have met Naaman. She would never have served in his house. She would never have had the opportunity to point him to one who could cure him of his leprosy. Without all the disaster which had come upon this little maid, Naaman was left as a leper. Naaman would die one day, a leper. I don't know where the line came from originally, but in some of our notes in college, I came across the saying, it probably was Mr. Johnson, he likes his play on words, to play on words, but it was, our disappointments are God's appointments. That's an interesting one. It's some good truth in that. Our disappointments, when things don't go well for us, they're God's appointments. He's planned them out. The Lord's in control. The Lord is sovereign. He rules over all things and orders all things perfectly. When you get a sight of the Lord and you realize that he really is sovereign over all the affairs of this earth. He really is in control of everything in my life and in your life. He's sovereign over the big things. He's sovereign over the little things. And then you realize that although things haven't gone as you would have wanted them to go, although things haven't gone according to plan, the Lord's in control. He's appointed it. He's appointed it for a purpose. They're ordered by the Lord. He's in perfect control and he does things rightly and perfectly. You remember Joseph in the scriptures. He could never have saved his family from the famine if he'd never been sold as a slave into Egypt. You remember Daniel. He couldn't have stood for the Lord in Babylon if he'd never been taken captive by them. You remember Jesus Christ. He could never have redeemed sinful men if he hadn't been nailed to a cross. Now I know that was his plan all along, but it wasn't pleasant, it wasn't nice, it wasn't something that would be enjoyable. But without it, sinful man wouldn't have been saved. I wouldn't have been saved. If you're saved today, your salvation wouldn't be there. You'd have no hope if Christ had not gone to that cross. The Lord oftentimes orders difficult things, troubles to come, disasters as we would see it, in his perfect plan, for good to come. He ordered a disaster here, this little maid to be taken captive, and it was used of him because this maid was then introduced to Naaman. This little maid was useful to the Lord. The place of her usefulness came about as a result of the disaster. And so she could speak to Naaman. Yes, there is a prophet in Israel. If you see him, you'll be cured. Have you been perhaps downcast due to circumstances? Well, trust in the one that does say that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Here's an evangelist, a little maid, an evangelist, who spoke for her God and was used of God despite and because of awful circumstances. You too are called to be an evangelist. You're to speak for the Lord, and you're to do so even despite the time of difficulty. And in the time of difficulty, and in the time of trouble, you're to speak on for the Lord as this little maid spoke on. Well, notice with me also that this little maid was an evangelist despite her lowly position. She was an evangelist despite a lowly position. You read there in the verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. We're told that this girl is a maid. She's not someone in power. She hasn't got authority. She's not really respected or influential. She's in a strange country without any contacts, not really knowing any friends or family round about. It would be very easy for this girl to think, I can't do anything for the Lord. How can I speak for the Lord? I'm just a little maid. Who would listen to me? What's the point of saying something for the Lord? What's the point of speaking out? No one respects my opinion. No one will listen to me. I want you to consider that scene. The maid could see a great need. She was there and she could see that Naaman was a leper. She could see he had a leprosy and he needed to be cured. She knew that there was a prophet in Israel who could cure Naaman, who could point him to show him how he could be saved, how he could be cured. She knew there was a remedy. But he was one of the greatest, most respected, most powerful men in Syria. Naaman was captain of the Syrian army. He was in charge. He was second in command in the whole country. The only one he answered to was the king. He was an important man. Why would he ever listen to a little maid? She was a mere captive. She was a little maid. She had no respect. She had no honour. She had no position. Why would mighty Naaman ever listen to her? Perhaps if she was in a prominent position, perhaps if she had some influence, maybe then she could do something for the Lord. Maybe if she was a leader in the land, well, then she could say something for him. Then she would be listened to. Maybe if she was a respected speaker, public figure, then she could be useful. But instead, she was just a little maid. A no one in Syria. I think the devil's lie gets to us sometimes, and we do start to believe it. He says, who are you to be working for the Lord? Who are you to be speaking for the Lord? Leave that to someone in position. Leave that to the minister of the church. Let him do that work. After all, he's the one in full-time service. You're just an individual in the pew. What can you do for the Lord? Let him do the evangelism. Let him be the one to reach the lost. You just get on with normal life and go on, plod along. Well, look at the passage. Here's a little maid. She's in a lowly occupation. She's a nobody in Syria. And yet the Lord specifically positioned her there to be of use to him. There was a job here for a little maid to do that many of the important and mighty men in Israel could never have done. A great job was here to be done by a lowly figure, a little maid. The truth is that the Lord's work is for all of his people. It's for the prominent, it's for the lowly. Full-time service, as it's often called, and I've heard plenty of it since going into college, but the reality is it's a title that should be ascribed to every single one of God's people. I don't know what your position is in life, I don't know where you are in the world, but the Lord has positioned you, if you're saved, where you are, to be a witness for him there. You might only be a little maid in the world. You might be a nobody in the world's eyes, but in our text here is a little maid who made all the difference. When you go through the doors of your workplace, whether it be the head office of a bank or the receptionist area of a hospital or the telemarketing office or whatever else you do, anywhere, wherever the Lord has placed you. I was stacking shelves in Tesco for a while before going into college. The Lord places you there to be a witness for him, whether it's in a high position or a lowly. The Lord delights to use the lowly for his glory. He used a little shepherd boy called David to slay Goliath. He used another shepherd, Moses, to lead Israel out of Egypt. Christ took some unschooled, untrained fishermen and made them his apostles. Christ himself, being both God and man, we read, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, according to Philippians 2 verse 7. And in doing that, in taking on the form of a servant, in taking on that lowly position, he fulfilled the will of his Father and he redeemed sinful men. The Lord can take you, whatever your position in life, whether you're high up in the world as the world would see things or whether you're very low, the Lord can take you and he can use you. Though you might feel small, labour for the Lord. Perhaps he would be pleased to make the difference with you in the lives of dying sinners. The Lord can use the lowly. He used this little maid. Notice also with me that this little maid was an evangelist despite her age. I believe, despite her age. You read there in the verse 2 that the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And that word little in the text, it can be rendered as unimportant, but it can also be rendered as young. Young. And you could be justified in reading that they'd taken captive out of the land of Israel a young maid. In those days, when an army won battles in another land, they often would carry away a number of children as captives. And some of those children would be sold for money. And the chances are that in this little maid's case, that she was carried away captive as a child and sold for money into Naaman's household. Naaman and his family had bought this little maid, this little child, this young child, to be their maid, to be their slave, if you like. Here she was, a young girl in a foreign land. She could have easily believed the lie that I'm too young to serve the Lord. She could have easily imagined that speaking for the Lord was a task for adults and for older people. She could easily have said, who am I? I'm just a child. Who would listen to me? I can't do anything for the Lord. I'm too young. Instead, this little maid spoke out. She said, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Young people here today, boys and girls, can I speak with you for just a moment? Here's a young girl, perhaps young teenager, I don't know, a young girl She's been taken away from her family and from her friends. She's been taken away from all that she knows, her mum and her dad. She's a young girl in a foreign place, and here's a young individual, a young girl, who's used of God to speak for him. You know, you're never too young to serve God. You're never too young to be used by God. You just have to speak what you know of the gospel to friends and family. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, you can be used of God. This wee girl, this young girl, I'm sure she felt very small. Wee young girl, small, insignificant. But God still had a job for her to do. When you go into school, when you're playing with friends, when you're with your family, there's a job for you to do. The Lord's work isn't just for adults, it's for the smallest of children. For the smallest of children too. The Lord can use even the smallest to do his great work and to see individuals saved even. If you're a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, you can be used of God no matter what your age. Here's a young girl, a small child, a little maid, and she's used of the Lord. Well, notice also that she was an evangelist despite her limited knowledge. I'll try and prove this to you. But I believe she had limited knowledge. She didn't really know the whole means of how he could be saved, how he could be cured, how Naaman could be made whole. You read there in the verse 3, she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, the little maid, she knew a certain amount. She probably knew that Naaman's leprosy would destroy his body and ultimately he would die, perhaps deformed as a leper. She knew that there was a way by which he could be made whole. He could be cured. She knew that if Naaman went to the prophet that was in Samaria, then that prophet could heal him. She certainly knew to point Naaman in the right direction. But can I suggest to you, her knowledge was very limited. If you read verses 4 and 5 of the chapter, now this is really the king of Syria sending the letter to the king of Israel. The king of Syria said in verse 4, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, notice it, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. This letter was sent to the king of Israel, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. I don't know if he meant the king specifically, but he was asking the king to have this man cured. It certainly seems that when Naaman arrived at the door of the king, he didn't know where to find this prophet. All he'd been told was that there was a prophet in Samaria who could cure him, and there was. But apart from that, he didn't know much. The likelihood is that Naaman would have questioned this little maid or had someone ask her all she knew about the prophet. I don't imagine he would have gone on this big journey to the king of Israel without gathering all the facts. He would have been asking this little maid what she knew. But the likelihood is she didn't know much. Because when he came to Israel, when he came to the king of Israel, he didn't ask for Elisha by name. He didn't know Elisha's name. He just asked that the king of Israel would find a means of curing him. He didn't know Elisha's name. He didn't know where to go. Because he came to the king of Israel, he didn't go straight to Elisha. He knew there was a prophet somewhere in the land of Samaria, but he didn't know which house exactly. He didn't know which closer area to go to. He didn't know. Naaman wasn't seeking for Elisha by name. He was seeking a mystery prophet in Samaria. He wasn't seeking Elisha at a specific location. He was just seeking him Samaria in general. The likelihood is then that this little maid didn't know all the facts. She's probably a young girl, remember? She's heard stories, perhaps, of a prophet who does wonderful things in her land. But apart from that, she doesn't know very much. She just knows that this man can cure Naaman. And let me emphasize that. The little maid could see the severity of Naaman's condition, of his leprosy. She knew that there was a prophet in Samaria somewhere who could heal him. She probably heard some of those stories as a child, but she didn't know very much about him. She just knew a prophet somewhere in Samaria can cure him. Yes, she'd heard of Elisha. Yes, she knew he lived somewhere in Samaria, but that was a big area, and that was about all she knew. She didn't know exactly where he lived. She didn't even know his name. How could she possibly direct Naaman to find Elisha? It would have been very easy for this little maid to not get involved. She could have said, well, I know there's a prophet there. I know he could heal him of his leprosy, but to be honest, I don't really know enough facts. What if he questions me a bit further? He'll not believe me anyway because I can't tell him all the details. It would have been very easy for her to just keep her mouth shut, to be quiet. She didn't know after all, really. She just knew a prophet somewhere in Samaria. She was only a little maid. She didn't know all the facts. I wonder if you're sometimes put off speaking for Christ because you don't know all the details. Sometimes put off because, well, you fear that you don't have all the answers if someone should question you. The worry comes, what if they ask me a hard question? What if I was speaking to someone in the street or a friend and they asked me something and I just didn't have the answer? I would look foolish, and I wouldn't want to look foolish in front of them, so I'll not mention anything. I'll just not mention it. Well, look at the example of this little maid. She certainly didn't have all the answers. She didn't know where he lived exactly. She didn't even know his name, Elisha's name. Yet she was willing to speak the truth that she did know for her Lord. She was able to say what she did know. There was a prophet somewhere in Samaria who can cure you. She said what she knew, and the Lord used it. She didn't know much, but what she did know was absolutely vital and made all the difference. She couldn't point Naaman directly to Elisha, but she did set him searching in the right direction. Her limited knowledge made all the difference in Naaman's life. Friends, you might not know much in the way of pointing a sinner to Christ. You might not have all the memory verses learnt off that you would like to. You might not have a ready answer for every possible question. I confess that I don't have many of those things. You don't understand the gospel as well as you would like to, perhaps. But I tell you this, if you're saved today, can I suggest that you have more knowledge of Christ than this little maid had of Elisha? For a start, you know Christ's name. She didn't know Elisha's name. You know more. You have more knowledge than this little maid had. As you look and see the sickness of sin round about in the lives of those that you love, at least if you know nothing else, you know the name of the one who can cure, the name of the one who died at Calvary to save men from sin. This little maid didn't know the prophet's name. You at least know the name of Christ if you don't know anything else. The Lord doesn't require you to be a walking Bible to be useful to him. He doesn't require you to have all the memory verses learnt off. Yes, it's useful. Yes, it's profitable to try and learn memory verses and learn answers to awkward questions. But the Lord doesn't require that. He just requires that you go and, like this little maid, are faithful with that which you know. He doesn't require even that your theology is absolutely perfect. He just requires that you're faithful with what you know. If all you know is that Jesus Christ can save sinners, if all you know is that he died on a cross and if you trust in him, you'll be saved. If that's all you know, well, tell that truth to those who need Christ. Perhaps directly they'll not be saved then and there. They might well be. The Lord can use even that. But perhaps that would be a stepping stone, pointing them to the one who can save them from their sin. This little maid was faithful despite her limited knowledge, an evangelist despite limited knowledge. Well, as we draw to a close, consider finally with me that this little maid was an evangelist despite her inability to help. She was an evangelist despite her inability to help. Now, we've already considered that this little maid was in a lowly position. She had no influence whatsoever. She ministered to the family of one of the wealthiest, most influential people in the land. As this little maid saw Naaman's great need, there was nothing which she could really do to actually help him. For start, she couldn't cure his leprosy. She couldn't do anything to make his leprosy go away. She had no power to take it away. She might have really, really wanted him to be healed, but this little maid couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't heal him. She couldn't do a thing for that. Even when this little maid knew a way for Naaman to be healed, and when she spoke of this prophet in Samaria, she had no way to actually force Naaman to go. She could tell the truth to him. She could tell him what she knew. But she couldn't force him to go that way. She had no real power to convince him. She was only a young maid, after all. No sway over Naaman. If he wanted to believe her and go, then he would. If he didn't, then he wouldn't. She had no power. There was nothing she could really do about it. You know, the parallel is true for us. As we proclaim the gospel to those around us, as we tell them of the remedy that's in Christ Jesus, we don't really have any power in ourselves to force someone to come to him. We certainly can't take away people's sin for them. We can't do it. We can't just quote off some special formula, some special rhyme, and sin's gone. We can't quote off some special formula that will urge people to come to Christ. The power isn't in us. But just as this little helpless maid pointed Naaman to Elisha, who could heal him, so we're called to not do anything grand, but simply point individuals to Jesus Christ. Because he's the one who has the might to save. He's the one who can deal with sin. He has the words of eternal life. We simply point men to Christ, and we let him do the work. Similarly, even as we point people to Christ, you know, as I say, we can't force them to go to him. You can't force men into salvation. You're simply called to be faithful, to proclaim what you know of the truth to those around you, and let the Lord take that truth and do the work. You're simply called to point in Christ's direction. Let the Lord do the convincing. If you aren't saved here this morning, I know full well that I can't force you to come to Jesus Christ. I can't force you to have your sins forgiven, but I'm not called to force you. I'm simply called to proclaim the truths of the gospel to you. I'm called to alert you to your danger, that all men are sinners. I'm called to show you that there is a Savior, that Christ Jesus came into the world, died on the cross, shed his blood, paying the price for sin, rose from the dead, showing that the work was complete. And if you come in repentance and put your trust in him, your faith in Jesus Christ alone, he will save you. The disease of sin will be removed. Yes, you'll still sin in life, but the guilt, the punishment that goes with sin, it's all gone. I'm simply called to tell you those truths, and it's up to you. It's between you and the Lord what you do with those things. If I tell you those truths, if each one of you here who's saved tell friends and family the truths which you know of the gospel, at least you're faithful. That's what the Lord requires, faithfulness with his word. Regardless of what you do with the truth, unsaved friend, I've been faithful, and God is glorified in it. It's up to you what you do with that truth. In the text before us, we have an unlikely evangelist, a little maid. She was an evangelist despite her circumstances. She was an evangelist despite her lowly position, an evangelist despite her age, despite her limited knowledge, despite her inability to help. Although so much seemed against this girl and against her usefulness to the Lord, her small contribution, saying there's a prophet somewhere in Samaria, her small contribution made all the difference in the life of Naaman. She may not be named in Scripture. We don't know her name. But all the same, I believe she's one of the most important people in this chapter. She was an unlikely, but she was a successful evangelist. May we follow in her footsteps, despite difficulties that may surround us, despite the difficulties which we face, and may we be unlikely evangelists like this little maid. May God bless his word to our hearts.